Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Will you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22? Genesis chapter 22 is where we're going. 22 is where we're going to read today. We are continuing in our series, The Father, looking at God's heart for us. Last week, we talked about Elroy, the God who sees us. We talked about Hagar and how Hagar wasn't even in relationship with God, but God still spoke to Hagar because he cares for even the people that are far off from him. Yes, he cares for his children. Yes, he sees his children, but he also sees those that don't have that intimate relationship with them yet, and he will still go after them. So as much as he will talk to and go after people that aren't in relationship with him, how much more should we have that kind of relationship with him where we're talking with him and knowing that he sees us? And it's a very important to understand that about God. This is our fourth installment in this series, and I'm going to say this at the beginning of every single message of this series. There's a popular quote by A.W. Tozer that says this, because I really want you to get this ingrained in your mind. That's why I'm going to keep saying this. You know, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. When you go to school, how do you learn your times tables? Well, it's by repetition, right? Anything you learn in life, you learn through repetition. You don't pick up, I can't play guitar, I wish I could, but because I tried and it didn't work, but you don't come and you don't learn how to play a piano without repetition. So I can come up to a piano and I go like this, and I learn a C, but then there's building and I'm gonna learn chords and I'm gonna go, and it's through repetition that I learn this. So everything we learn is through repetition. So this is why I say this again, A.W. Tozer in The Knowledge of the Holy says this, the most important thing man can do is think rightly about God. It is the most important thing that you can do in your life is to know God, know who he truly is, and know his character and his nature. Because everything that you do for God, which, by the way, should be everything you do. Oh, I'm already preaching real good. We're just getting started. Everything you do should be for God. Do not your work unto earthly masters, but do it as unto the Lord. Okay? We're not working for earthly masters. Everything we do should be to the glory of the God and the Father. So everything that flows from you is a mirror of what you believe the Father is, how you believe God is, what his response would be, what the response Jesus would give in those moments. That is what you are mirroring to a world that is lost. You cannot save that which was lost, which is what Jesus came to do. You cannot be then a reflection of going and saving that which was lost if you don't know his character and nature. And can I go ahead and blow your minds for a second that God is much more loving than what has been preached about for years. He is much more compassionate and filled with compassion than what has been propagated throughout the course of history. He is far more caring than what you may even think or imagine or what has been taught to you. God is a better father than what has been taught to you more than likely, because he is a perfect father. Okay? Now today I want to talk to you. We talked last week about Elroy. Week before that, we talked about him shepherding us, leading us. Week before that, we talked about perfect father. This week, I want to talk to you about a providing father. He is the God who provides for us. You find this in Genesis 22 whenever it is Abraham, right? He's here. Now, I'm not going to read the whole text because I don't have time. But listen, it's important to understand God as your provider. I'm going to go ahead and read a lot of it. Here we go. We're going to start. We see Abraham here. He gets told by God, hey, because I want you to have context for where I'm going. He gets told by God, hey, go take Isaac. And, kill him. It's time for a burnt offering. And it says this in verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. I didn't see this at first service, where we're going to go in just a second, and I'm going to go ahead and go there. In a little bit at the end of this text, you know where the place, you know what the place he ends up calling afar off is? It's the place where Jehovah Jireh shows up. So he already saw the place afar off, the future. He saw the future. He saw Jireh before Jireh showed up. He saw the exact place God was going to show up at. Let's keep going. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. There's another revelation in this. Abraham is on the way to do what God had called and told him to do. And he realizes there are some people that can't go there. Because if they go there, they're going to try to stop him. Because they didn't have the same faith that Abraham had and the same trust that Abraham had. Abraham trusted God fully in what he was doing. And we see that in a few verses where Isaac begins to go, where's the lamb? Where's the ram at? And Abraham's response is, God will provide the sacrifice. So Abraham's on his way, and there's some people, he says, you can't come with us, you got to stay. Notice he doesn't even actually tell them what they're going to do. Because even if he begins to, well, there is such revelation in this, y'all. Even if he begins to tell them what he's going to do, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be filled with doubt, meaning, are you sure about that? Because he says, I'm going to go yonder. That's southern word. I'm going on yonder, and we're going to worship. Think about this. Abraham knows he's going to kill Isaac. He knows that's the plan, at least right now. Isaac knows. Y'all picture Isaac as some five-year-old with no, like, understanding of what's happening. If you actually study the Bible, you'll find out that that's not how old he was. Isaac was not a little wee lad that was just, like, carrying around, and he's like, Daddy, when are we going to do this? No, he is likely between the ages of 15 to 25 is what most scholars believe. That means that Isaac is fully cognizant of what's going on. Isaac, we go, oh, look at the faith of Abraham. Look at the faith of Isaac. Isaac doesn't question his father. Look at the obedience and the sonship of Isaac. He doesn't question his father. He believes in faith and goes, yep, all right, we're going to go. You said I'll provide the sacrifice. I'm following. Even whenever Abraham says, we're going to go yonder and worship, he doesn't go, well, actually, 911, my dad's going to kill me. Right? Abraham realizes there are some people that cannot go with him. There are some people that are going to stay behind, because if he tries to tell them or take them with him, they're going to interrupt the process of the promise that God has for him. They're going to interrupt the process of provision that God has for him. Now let's keep going. Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. We'll come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and took the fire. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together, and they came to the place which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. The story of Abraham and Isaac. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, stop it, Abraham. And so Abraham said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do not do anything to him, for I know now that you fear God, or trust God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Which there's a whole other message we could preach in this, in the picture of how God gave his only son for us, for provision for us. But that's a whole other message we'll talk about another time. Then Abraham lifted his eyes, verse 13, and looked, and there behind him, was it ram caught in a thicket by its thorns, and by its horns, not thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So Abraham's reason, one of the reasons Abraham's going to do this is because he's doubted God in the past. So God calls him on to do this. But Abraham realizes that I'm going to go do this, but I'm going to need provision. Like there's going to be need to be a provision. Because obviously the truth of the matter is, I don't think Abraham was like, come on, Isaac, we're going to go kill you. You know, let's go. He didn't just want to, I mean, some of you in here might want to sometimes with your kids, but that's not Abraham. I don't think Abraham's heart was there, okay? Abraham's heart was, he's going to provide. So he trusted God's provision. So then Abraham names the place Jehovah Jireh, declaring God's provision. He recognizes God as Father who provides before he even provided. Such a powerful statement, such a powerful thing here to think on. He recognized God as provider and provision before he even ever provided. What do you mean, Pastor? Look, the fire in the wood, Isaac says. Where's the lamb? Abraham says, hey, don't worry about a thing. Because God's going to provide a ram for us. Like, he's like, listen, like, there's going to be provision. So he recognizes God as the source of provision before a provision actually even takes place. Listen to me. If you want the provider, if you want the Father to be your provider, you've got to recognize him as such. Before he will be provider, you have to recognize him as your provider, as your source of provision. Matthew 7 and 11 says this, if you then being evil, right, know how to give what? Good gifts to your children, how much more will your who? Thank you, it's not a trick question. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? This scripture is saying God is an unlimited and perfect provider. That's what this text is saying. You know, in many of our homes, the man, especially in our culture, is the provider for the family, right? He provides for the family. Now, that may not be true in every household. I'm saying that obviously as our, especially Southern generalization, man's got to be the provider. I'm waiting to think if I should go here or not. I'll wait for later. I'll get there. Walt said go ahead, so I'm going. It's amazing. Men want to be the financial provider but don't want to be the care provider. And all the men just got slain in the spirit by that statement right there. Y'all said, yes, God, that's me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to bring home the bacon. The bread. Yeah. Oh, you want to talk about something? Oh, you got a problem? Oh, our daughter's struggling? You take care of it. Our son's struggling with something? You take care of it. How many of you men in this room want to be like God? If you don't, I'm sorry. You ought to want to be like God. And I hope this message illuminates something in this today. That God cares about more than money. So you ought to care about more than money. Provision is more than financial. Provision is care. Provision is love. Provision is a tenderness. Provision is compassion. Provision is mercy. Provision is grace. Provision is anything that God is for you and has to supply for you. That's provision. Provision is joy. Provision is peace. If you're providing money but you're not helping provide peace in your household, you're not a good provider. I'll clap myself happy on this one. I need some gospel players up here sometimes, I tell you. Huh? I feel the glory in this room. And I mean the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Because that's how the glory shows up, by the way. He convicts you of what you're doing and changes you. All right, I'm going to move on. Some of y'all are mad at me already. It's Walt's fault. He told me to go there. I'm going to use this whole segment as a clip on social media this week and see how many likes we get. Probably a lot of hate mail. Or a lot of women will share it, and then it'll be, anyways, a whole lot, anyway, we'll keep going. But listen to me, God is a perfect provider. He's not just about your finances. He's about your well-being, your mental health. Can I say, parents, as providers in your household, you need to provide and care for the mental health of your children and your teenagers. And I know it's hard because you got your own mental health stuff you're going through. I understand. I sympathize with you. But at the same time, your kids need you. They look to you as a picture of what the Father looks like. And I know it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. There are times I lose it. There are times that I'm like, I can't right now. Okay? I had one of those weeks last week. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't lie in church. I don't stand up here and be like, oh, yes, I'm perfect. I do nothing wrong. I had one of those weeks last week where I was like, I literally can't this week. I am overloaded. But that's where you got to rely more on the Holy Spirit to be your provision in those, even those times. And I recognize that. And I realize that you got to press in some. God's an unlimited provider is what I was saying a moment ago. Let's get back to the message. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your, somebody say, needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. My God will supply or meet all your needs. Anybody ever been a kid in this room? If guys, that's like all of you, in case you didn't know, you've been a kid at some point in time. Some of y'all are adult, but you're still a kid. Anybody ever, growing up, there was two stores that I loved to go in as a kid because they had everything that I needed. Okay? One was KB Toys in Panama City Mall. Anybody remember KB Toys? They always had the little ball with the ferret tail on it, chasing it right there on the edge. I needed one of those, but baby, I needed one of those, Dad. Dad, I need that. Toys R Us, oh boy. I could get lost in a Toys R Us for days. I loved wrestling figures growing up, and I'm still growing up. I love wrestling figures. I was a big WWE, WCW. I was more of a WCW fan, where the big boys play, is what they say. WCW. And man, we walk into a store, and if there was a figure that I didn't have yet, I needed that figure. Dad, I need that new Bill Goldberg figure. Don't you know he's undefeated in WCW? I need the figure. Most of the time, my dad would look at me and go, no, you don't. Now, I'm not saying that he never bought stuff, because trust me, I had like two gigantic storage bins full of wrestling figures. So they definitely got us them. But he would let me know that it was a want, not a need. My kids are the same way. I'm sure some of your kids are the same way, where they need every toy. No, no, you don't. You don't. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. College Football 24 comes out soon, and I need that game, okay? It's been a long time. It's been a long time. I need it. It is a need in my life. Okay, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. What does God supply for? What's that scripture say? My God will supply all your needs. Not wants, needs. You want money. You want to live in the biggest house in Crestview. You want a boat. You don't need a boat. You want a boat. You don't need, understand when I say this, you don't need the boss position. You want to be a boss, like a boss. You don't need to be a boss. Some of y'all really don't need to be a boss. Wants are different than needs. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and give you the desires of your heart. Desires are wants. So delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the wants of your heart. Now, that doesn't mean everything you want, but it does mean that he sees them and he cares about those things And he does begin to meet those as he meets your needs first. Because if we're not careful, we'll be ruled by wants, not by needs. You need joy, you don't need money. Money will not bring you joy. Joy is something that only comes from the Lord. You need peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay? So we got, and so what's interesting is we read that scripture, and guess where that was written from? Paul is the author of this. He penned that scripture. Therefore, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he is sitting high on the hog in prison. That's where Paul is. Paul's like, my God, he shall supply all my needs. Hey, will you loosen these restraints a little bit? I'm trying to write something here. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, what Paul's saying here is no matter where I am at, he is my provider. He is still a source of provision for me. Philippians 4 is an incredible text because we love in the church to take two scriptures from it. My God shall supply all my needs, hey, according to his riches and his glory. And Tim Tebow once said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Oh, wait, that was Paul as well. That was also Paul who also penned that in prison. And he's not talking about a football game. Right. He writes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Just after he writes, and my God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. This is after... This is right before he writes, my God supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm not writing this because I'm in need. I'm in prison, but I'm not in need. For I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. That's when he says, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, even in the midst of need and in the midst of want, I still understand that he is my source of provision and I can make it through. So when I'm going through hell, he can still be my source of provision for joy. When I'm going through loss, he can still be my source that is there that cares for me and holds me up in the middle of sorrow and grief. He can still be there and he is that source of provision. We've just misread the word. Paul's saying, either way, he's my provider. Yeah. Think about this. Abraham didn't need money. He needed a ram. There could have been the riches and wealth of kings and rulers that showed up in that place at Jehovah Jireh, at the place where he was about to bring the knife down. On Isaac, men could have showed up with riches beyond measure. And it still wouldn't have been the provision that he needed in the moment. God is a provider of the things that you are in need of. That does not mean this, that he wants you to live broke, busted, and disgusted, okay? That does not mean that God doesn't want to bless you financially, okay? I want to live in the blessing of the Lord, not just for myself, but for others, okay? And God wants to bless his children, okay? Abraham didn't need money, he needed a ram. Not all needs are financial, but since he sees us, he knows this, and he provides for us, amen? Now, give me two more hours, and we're going to finish this message. To understand, recognize, and receive him as the Father who provides, we have to understand what that looks like. First of all, you got to look at the timing of provision. Somebody say, timing of provision. God is always on time. He is never late. Okay? He's not late. Sometimes you wish he was a little earlier, but he's never late, right? He is on time. He finds a way to show up just right on time. Now, just imagine here being both Abraham and Isaac walking up this mountain. Once again, Isaac's fully cognizant of what's going on. Isaac's walking up and he hears, God will provide a sacrifice. I've got to think for a moment that Isaac's carrying that stuff. Hey, Dad, where's the ram? I would love this. There's just been something lately about me. I don't even like The Office. Sorry if you like The Office. I don't care for it. But I want this portion of scripture to be filmed in the styling of The Office. Like, goes to a little vignette of Isaac. I was just wondering where the ram was. Like, we're just walking along. I'm kind of scared my dad's going to kill me right now. He's like, walking up. Where's the ram, Dad? Blink, blink, blink. Where's the ram, Dad? Abraham's like, he's like, he looks at Isaac. He goes, Isaac, God will provide the ram. You got to think for a second what was going through Isaac's mind too, because once again, we're talking about how he was a provider for Abraham, but he's also a provider for Isaac here. He gives Isaac life. Like, so Isaac has his own things he's thinking, going, oh no. So Abraham gets his own son to the altar there, gets right there. And then there's Kairos versus Kronos time that takes place. Because in that walk, he's going, where's the ram, Dad? I'm sure Isaac was thinking, it'd be a lot more secure if we were walking with something that was baying at us. I would feel much more secure that I'm not going to die today. But the Kairos time of God was, you've got to walk through this process to see the provision. There's a process that you're going to go through to get the provision of the Lord, to get the need that you have. You got to trust in me. How many of you have ever went through something and you say, you know, I would have rather had Kronos time than Kairos time? Anybody be honest in this room? Like, I'm be honest. I'll put both hands up, both feet up. I'll, whatever I get, whatever sign I got a hold of, say, that's me, that's me. I didn't know almost four years ago now, which is crazy. September will be 4 years. I didn't know 4 years ago whenever we went from a church of 1,000 people in Panama City to High Praise Crestview that we would one day, just shortly down the road, have to go to two services and have over 200 people on campus every Sunday. You know what I saw? 40 people or less in a room, in this room. COVID, face coverings, everything against us. That's what I saw. If I would have my way, man, it would be nice to start like this. But God knew what was better. He knew there were some things that we'd have to plow through, some things that some principalities and powers we'd have to tear down. He knew there was some readying and tilling of the ground that would have to be done before to prepare for you, to prepare for the fruit that was to come, the seeds that were to come. And then you're now in another preparation process with us as we feel like we are in a birthing season right now. There's a word just in this, and I just saw this. That the word has been that there's a birthing season taking place. But before the birthing, I understand when I say this, we got to know who our daddy is. You got to know who the daddy is of what you're birthing. And I'm not talking about, oh, daddy God. Okay? Like, we have to know who the father of this child is. And we got to know his heart so we can care for it properly. And we need to invite the heart of the Father into this and what God is birthing so that we can actually tend to it properly. But we see Kairos versus Kronos. I would have rather had Kronos. Let's get all this done. Man, y'all see this incredible worship team, which I was talking about earlier. You know how we started? We didn't have all this. It was me here. I was going to play it, but I can't right now. My mind's not on it. I was going to play the Wii Sports theme, but I forgot it. But so, and then we had this little iPad right here, which plays tracks for us. We had Miss Trish right here, and then Pastor Chelsea right there. and we did Christian karaoke. And like, that was great. Well, for you guys, it was great. Mr. Newland said, it was good. I said, for you. not coming from a place where we were used to having horns and ensemble, and that's what we have in Panama City. When we get a huge worship team over there, we came to us three like, come on, praise the Lord or something. just give any sign of life. It would have been much nicer to start off this church with a full worship team. Drums, bass, guitars, vocalists, everything that we got now. Man, it would have been nice to start that way. We didn't. But Kairos brings it in this perfect time. And God has brought people to this church that are anointed and skillful. I would rather have the anointing than an illegitimate seed, than an illegitimate child. I would rather have the real thing then go out and find people. Hey, can you come play for my church? Can you come play? I want the anointing on the stage. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen? He provided that. That was a prayer earlier in our church. I remember talking to somebody. Y'all going to be with me till 1:30 today. Just so y'all know. I remember talking to somebody, and they asked, what do you need prayer for in your church? I said, the worshipers to arise. That's our big prayer right now is, Lord, send the worshipers. Not the musicians. Send the worshipers. Exactly. Send the worshipers. We have people partnering with us, praying with us. The worshipers would arise, and we've seen that take place, and I'm thankful. And sometimes people go, well, I don't feel qualified to sing on a mic because I'm not that good. Do you have a heart of worship? You're qualified to sing on a mic. I'm good. I would much rather have a heart and anointing to worship the Lord than the best skilled vocal ever. I would rather you have an anointing. Now, let me say this. Okay. Skill still matters, okay? Bible says that David played skillfully unto the Lord, okay? So we still want some form of skill. But anointing matters even more so than that. I want people that really have the heart to worship in the anointing. Kairos and Chronos time. We want to see what we want to see before it happens. Think about Elijah and the widow. Elijah and the widow. Anybody ever heard that story? Elijah's led by God. Lord, he says, go. And there's going to be a lady there. She's going to provide. He's like, okay. Shows up. There's a woman outside who's playing Hawthorne Heights at the top of her and singing. It's the day for her to die. She's bundling her sticks, getting ready. She's piling them up, getting ready. When I say Hawthorne Heights, it's an emo band from back in the day. She was emo. She was like, I'm just here. I'm going to make me a cake for me and my kid. And then, done. I'm out. You got to think, he walks up and it's like, this is who you get. Once again, I love this. I would love this to be filmed in the style of The Office. This is who you, I need a whole Bible just of the, this is where you brought me, God? I'm sure if Elijah had his way, he would have loved to walk into this place where like this woman's like Mary Poppins or something, just making all this beautiful, she got this bread laid out and this just enormous, like Stanley, just ready to drink, just ready for him there. And she's like, I'm ready to die. And he says, hey, go make me something. And what's the Bible say whenever she does that? That her oil never ran dry. She was provided for because God cares more than about money. They needed to be fed. So God provided for her in that way. And God also provided for Elijah, the prophet. And because, listen to me, because she was willing to provide for the prophet and obey the Lord, she got the fruit of provision in her life. Can I say this? If you want the provision of fruit in your life, if you want provision to happen in your life in all different areas, you begin to be that source of provision for others. Because how you sow is how you will reap. Okay? That's the word. That's the word of God. What you sow, you will also reap. He provides seed to the sower. So listen, I'm gonna put it in real practical terms for you. You go, I can't go on a date because we need a babysitter. Have you ever offered to be a babysitter for somebody else? Well, God in this place. Man, nobody ever talks to me. Have you ever talked to anybody else? Right. Nobody ever comes to me and encourages me. Have you ever went and encouraged anyone else? If you want God to show up in the way of provision for you in certain areas of your life, you need to be that. You need to sow that in the lives of others. Amen? Give me 93 more minutes. You must understand He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. The people that sat here in first service know how much longer I got to go. You must understand He's faithful, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, who has called you into a fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord God. I change not. In other words, if He was faithful then, He's still faithful now. Nothing's changed about Him. In 2 Timothy 2, you can turn there later, read it later. God reveals Himself as the God can be anything but faithful. He's only faithful. So to believe anything other than Him being fully faithful, write this down, to believe anything other than Him being fully faithful forbids you from trusting Him as your provider. You must believe He is fully faithful to actually trust Him as your provider. You cannot half trust God. You cannot half trust God. I know personally, Pastor Chelsea and I, we have seen God's hand of faithfulness in our lives. There's many people in this room, we go around right now, I'm sure, and give testimony of God's hand of faithfulness in different areas of their life in the way of provision. Some might be finances. Some of it might be provision of providing a place for their marriage to be restored. Some people in this room, their testimony might be there was a provision of care for you whenever you went through a surgery and you needed food, that you had a meal train that was brought to you, and there was provision in that way. The bottom line is you got to trust God fully in all things and remember those times of faithfulness, because listen, let the testimonies of His faithfulness be the foundation to your belief of His faithfulness. Let the testimonies of His faithfulness in your own life and in the lives of others be the foundation to the belief of His faithfulness. How many of you, well, I'm not going to ask you, I want you to really think on that for a minute. How many times has God been faithful in your life? How many times have you overlooked His provision? How many times have you went, oh yeah, No, that's God. How many times have you went through loss and went, I feel okay. How many times have you went through different seasons of your life and been like, the Lord still got me? Yeah. How many times have you went through certain seasons and just been like, I don't know how I'm making it, but I am? That's the provision of the Lord. That's the provision of peace. Huh? Listen to me, He provides for you because He cares for you. Hebrews 14 shows us that Christ, who is fully God, became fully man, and it says that He sympathizes with our weaknesses. I said this earlier, care is a way of provision. Care is a way of provision. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for us. Love is a source of provision. All of us want to be loved in this room. I don't think anybody in this room is like, yeah, I want everyone in the world to hate me. Just hate me. Other than He hate me from the XFL way back in the day, only like probably 7 people in this room even know what I'm talking about. But there, nobody wants to just live hated. They want a provision of love. And guess what God is? Love. I said this first service. My wife, she has, and I was talking about it a little bit earlier, she has needs. And some of her needs are to be heard. How many of you got a spouse in here, maybe husband or wife, could be either way, because I need to be heard sometimes. How many of you got a spouse in here that needs to be heard sometimes? If you don't, y'all need to break down some walls in your relationship because there's something wrong there, because both of you should want to be heard by one another. How many of you got some kids in this room that they have times where they just want to be heard? That's because that's a need that they have. It's literally a need. So the reason that we cast our cares on Him because He cares for us is because He cares for our need, which is a care. Which is a need, excuse me. He cares for our care, which is a need. So, go past, I'm gonna take another step into relationships here for a second. for those of that are married in this room. Don't scratch your head and go, well, I don't know why there's not a fire in the bedroom, if you're not listening to the needs of your spouse. If you want to example God to your spouse, if you want to example God to your kids, that is a way of providing for your family too, is by listening, caring, sympathizing, compassion, mercy, grace, love abounding in your home, providing that into your house, both husband and wife. I'm not just talking about husbands here, husbands and wives. Because wives, you need to give your husband a spot to talk to you, because if he doesn't talk to you, he's going to look somewhere else. Y'all don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Okay? Strong message. Same way as the other way. Because you're supposed to be there for one another in a marriage relationship. You're supposed to help. Understand what it says? There are certain needs that only God can meet. Okay? But then there are certain needs that you're supposed to be there for each other and meet. Right. Amen? That's right. Selah. He's provider. He cares. Provider. In order to see God show up as provider, you must trust him as such. I've got the landing gear out, okay? Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 33. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So he's saying, listen, they don't sow and reap, but they still get their needs met. Interesting. Keep going. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, when he was rich, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry about saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Don't worry about the wants. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need, somebody say need. He already knows you need all these things. He knows that you need to eat. He knows that you need to drink. He knows that you need clothes to wear, because we don't want to see you naked. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these, we can say this. I'm going to change this word for a second. All these needs shall be added to you. We have read this text and totally left out the rest of it for years, just like we did with I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. We're like, oh, I'm going to see kingdom and his righteousness, and I'm going to get whatever I want. That's not what it says. It says the things that you need, God already knows about them because he's your source of provision. So when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the needs that you have, he begins to bring provision for. But you've got to seek God first. Provision comes. Do what God says. Provision comes. Trust in him. Provision comes. That's the order. You got to trust God. Those who you trust, you will obey with your life actions. There was a great trust that God had, that Abraham had in God. Great trust will call you to action, to his call, to his word. Think about this for a second as I come to a close. God didn't provide the wood. Notice they didn't get there, and there was already an altar made. What's it say in the text? It says Abraham went and cut the wood. Abraham went and cut the wood. When God calls you to do something, guess what? You got to get your lazy butt up and go do something. God called us to start High Praise Crestview. We couldn't live in Panama City forever. We had to move. We had to sell our house. We had to do some natural things. We had to buy a house here. We had to be here. God has ordered this church. And I believe he's providing for this church, the needs of this church. Whether it's financial, whether it's from a musical aspect, whether it's from a tech aspect, whatever the aspect is, God's been providing all the way. But it takes people partnering and trusting in God and doing things to see the full provision of the Lord. If Pastor Chelsea and I sat, I thought about this. Yesterday, someone asked me, what'd you do yesterday? Because after the conference, I mean, honestly, we were zonked on Saturday. We were just laying down. We were really tired. Okay? And we rested a lot. A whole lot. And I hadn't even studied this sermon out yet. So I had to wake up and I had to study. So I studied from about 6:30 to 10:30 and then studied some more late last night. I already knew the word that God had given to me and I've been praying on it and thinking on it. I knew I want to talk about God as provider, Father as provider. But had I not went and actually prepared a sermon, I would not have a sermon to preach. I'd have a thought, but I would not have a sermon. Okay? When God calls you to do something, there is faithful actions you have to take to see the provision of the Lord in your life. Provision don't just happen. If you wait for God to provide everything, you will never have provision. They weren't transfigured up to the mountain. They had to walk up the mountain. It wasn't beam me up, Scotty, and then put me back down right there. They had to walk up to the mountain. You've got to trust fully in God. I'm fully ending with this. It is important to give gratitude for the provision you already have. Yes. I have said it like this for years. I'm going to say it like this again. I don't know if I've ever said it in this church till 9 a.m. service, but I love this. God don't bless brats. God don't, look at somebody say, God don't bless brats. God don't bless brats. Someone said, who are you talking to? I'm going to show you what I mean. It's important to give gratitude for the provision you already have. Listen. And the provision to come. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which is a provision that we need, is peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is this text saying? It's saying that God provides peace to those who give thanks because God don't bless brats. Give thanks to the Lord, Psalms 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. You begin to experience his love whenever you begin to give thanks to the Lord who is good because God don't bless brats. Psalm 107, 8 through 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. You don't get the good things until you start thanking God in advance for them. Because God don't bless brats. Deuteronomy 8, 10 and 11. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. And then it goes on in 17 and 18 to say this, another scripture that we love to quote out of context. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he gives you the ability to get wealth, produce wealth, so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. In other words, God doesn't bless you financially unless you begin to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father and give him gratitude and thanks because God don't bless brass. I'm telling you, it is important that we get this today, church, that we have got to begin to give God thanks for the provision before we even see it. And then once it happens, we give him thanks again. And then once it happens, we give him thanks again. And when it happens, we give him thanks again because he is a perfect provider. Will you stand and give God a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you right now for this word. We say yes and amen to the word of God. We receive with meekness the engrafted word that helps us grow in whom you've called us to be, that teaches us, shows us your goodness on display. We thank you that you are a provider for us. We acknowledge you as a provider, so we give you thanks for it now. Lord, we trust fully in you as our provision. Today we recognize that provision isn't just about money. It's about every little thing that you provide for us. Love, joy, peace, all these things that we need in our life. Lord, let us not be a want-driven life. But Father, let us seek earnestly after the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. And Lord, even as we do that and we begin to delight ourselves in you, you know the desires of our heart, and we thank you, God, you're the provider, and you even provide for those things too, because you care about us. Because you care about us. So Father, we acknowledge you today as provider. Any area where we have failed to trust you, we ask, Lord, today to help us. Let your grace empower us and help us. Holy Spirit, empower us and help us to believe again that you are a perfect provider. So Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. If you believe it, will you shout amen and give God a hand clap today? Amen.